been doing a series called The Rule of Life, and I know you guys know this, but there's one more back here. We are not called simply to learn about the Bible in fresh revelation, but we're called to live it. And so part of learning about this rule of life has been so important. I feel like we've been on this for a few weeks because we want to implement this. But what this might look like for you might look very different than what it looks like for me. And so I'm going to read a couple of verses, one in John chapter 15. Can we put that up on the screen? It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may grow and bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And so a part of this rule of life is creating a structure, not because structure brings life at all. In fact, structure brings no life. Fruit comes from the vine. That comes from Christ. So a part of the structure, and we're talking about this rule of life, is to implement a trellis, if you will, so that your vine can grow and be more fruitful. Or a scaffolding. We've had the scaffolding up for a few weeks. You're going to see it in your sleep, I hope, that you are building a structure so that you build your life that gives glory to God. And so all this is about really abiding in Jesus so that we can become more fruitful. And so I've invited this amazing team up here, hopefully different aspects of life, different seasons of life, different lifestyles, but our hope is that we're abiding in the vine. And so give you a definition of the rule of life. A rule of life is a schedule, a set of practices and relational rhythms that help us create space in our busy world for us to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he did. And I love that scripture we read. We love because he first loved us. Look, I don't have enough love in me to love my kids, much less my wife and the rest of the world, right? And so we get that love by spending time and connecting with God. To live to the full in this kingdom and to align with our deepest passions and priorities. We have another quote up there. And then we're going to jump in here and talk to our panel here. Hear from them this morning. But about this concept that we talked last week about four healthy ingredients to a rule of life. What needs to be in my rule of life? Spiritual practices, Sabbath and rest, relational rhythms, and what we've called putting boundaries on the digital carnivore. And so spiritual practices or disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. Right? It's not about you doing something so that you can be changed. This is about you coming before Jesus so that he can change you. The inner righteousness we seek is not something that is poured on our heads. God has ordained the disciplines of the spiritual life as the means by which we place ourselves where he can bless us. In this regard, it would be proper to speak of the path of disciplined grace. It is grace because it is free. It is discipline because there's something for us to do. So, that being said, I wanted to hear from you guys this morning. How do you position yourself before the Lord in this context of spiritual practices or disciplines? And then, what does that look like practically? And I wanted Michelle to share. We've talked about this a little bit already because that has changed for you even recently. And kind of tell us about that journey.
Okay. So, in talking about spiritual disciplines, so that would be like, you know, journaling, reading your Bible, praying, worship, things like that. So, for Blake and I, when we first got married, you know, because he's a pastor, we were in campus ministry together and stuff. He spent time with the Lord in a certain way. And so I kind of found myself falling into the same pattern that he did, you know, which, you know, he gets up at the same time every day. He's got a routine. I mean, he's been doing it the whole time we've been married. He's very faithful in it. And so, you know, he reads his Bible and all this kind of stuff. And so I found myself trying to do that. Then eventually it kind of ebbed into like doing like women's Bible studies like Beth Moore and things like that. But over the years, it's kind of transitioned, and I found that the way that I like to spend time with the Lord looks different than him. And so I'm finding freedom in that, and that's great. And so my spiritual disciplines now look more like journaling in the morning, and I have to kind of empty my thoughts out before I can really hear from the Lord. So I just kind of empty things out and then enjoy reading some scriptures. Maybe I'll meditate on a specific verse or a specific passage. I know for me, actually, it's funny that John 15 was up there. I spent probably a year and a half in that passage multiple times because of the season I'm in. I'm in grad school right now. I'm getting ready to graduate in May. So it's been 2.5 years of very intense schedule, 16 to 18 hour work days almost every day doing stuff. And so I found myself going back to this place of reminding myself, I've got to abide in the vine. If I do all this stuff and I'm not abiding in him, it's worthless. And so, I also like to incorporate drawing. Like I'll sometimes the Lord will give me a vision or just a specific verse or whatever, I'll start drawing. And I don't think that Blake's drawing in his quiet time. but that's how I enjoy spending time with the Lord. But I'd let somebody else speak to that.
Yeah, how do you guys connect with the Lord?
Amen. Yeah, I guess I'll speak to that. I can remember just James just sharing about our bents and how some of us have bent towards worship, others prayer, some the word. And I know for me, 15 years ago when I gave my life to Christ, something unique started happening that it developed into a spiritual discipline. But probably 2 or 3 nights out of the week, it never fails, at about 3 a.m., I'll get this stomach pain, this stomach ache, and can't shake it. And the Lord will wake me up, and I have to spend time in worship and in prayer. After about an hour of worship and prayer, that pain resides, and I'm able to go back to bed. And so the Lord has really used that, similar to Michelle, just to empty myself out before the Lord and really spend time hearing his voice. The second thing I think is significant is coming out of this church fast. The Lord has been dealing with Jenny and I regarding having a fasting life. And so this is fairly new to us, but we've committed at least 2 days a week to spend time just fasting the full day, just for clarity and direction in this next season. And I would say the third for me, which is significant, that I learned from my brothers Rob Lee and Randy Bowling, but having a prayer life is so important, and things happen when men pray. So at least 2 days a week getting together with men to be able to pray has been extremely helpful for me.
Besides the standard ways that you generally think of connecting with the Lord first thing in the morning and so forth and so on, let me just mention something different. I ride my bike every day, and sometimes Billy rides with me, and when he does, we have time of fellowship, but often I'm by myself when I ride. And it is a wonderful time of prayer with the Lord, listening to the Lord, listening to spiritual worship, and just really having that time with the Lord. It used to just be a ride, but it really has become a really wonderful time with the Lord. That has become one of my spiritual practices.
That's awesome. Anything unique you guys want to add?
I was just going to say, for me personally, it seems to be more, I don't know, in the traditional sense, where I'm just getting up in the morning when I spend time with the Lord, just me and him. The night before, I lay some things out on my own. I may lay my Bible and maybe my prayer list out on my desk. And I will have that ready to go in the morning, so I'm not having to think about it in the morning and use a bunch of brain power to get some stuff ready and, oh, what am I going to read today? Just lay it out the night before and have it ready when I roll right out of bed, and that's my time for 15 or 20 minutes.
That's awesome. I know I kind of jump right into this. Could you just share where you are in this season of life, what you do, so maybe we can relate to some of that?
Yeah, I'll go first. Just moved back to Greenville, started a new job here in Greenville, so it's a bit of a new season and transition for me. But we did just have our daughter 1 year ago, so that definitely changes some things too. So that's where we're at, me and my wife, right now.
All right, I'm Michelle. We have two kids in elementary school. I have an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old. And then I mentioned I'm in graduate school for clinical mental health. It's a full-time program.
I'm a career teacher. Taught more than 30 years in high school Spanish, but I'm still teaching now part-time, doing ESL, English as a Second Language, with Pitt Community College. And we've been in Greenville since 1969. And we've been in this church since the beginning. Are you raising your hand to say something? You're just saying peace.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm Zach, and I just recently graduated from ECU in December, so that was exciting. And I jumped right into working a full-time job, like 9 to 6 most days, and sometimes on Saturdays. So it's been like a huge transition for me, so that's kind of where I'm at in life.
Yeah, my name is Atlas, and my wife Jenny and I, we've been in this church for almost 15 years now. Started out as babes in college, and I've been blessed to grow and mature. I'm here in this house, and I serve as the executive director of Building Hope Community Life Center. So,
great, thank you. One of the parts of our rule of life is the relational rhythms. If we don't prioritize certain relationships, they kind of get swept away with our busyness, the culture, and the schedule. So how do you guys prioritize certain relationships in your life, and then what does that look like?
I think I can speak to that a little bit. One of the ways I do it is first I find out who my friends are, and that's often by just coming to church. I see who I vibe with, who's cool, who I relate to. Then once I figure that out, I'm like, hey, is there a time a week where you can just meet up, like the same time every week? That way it's consistent. So one of the most helpful ways to stay in like a relational rhythm with people for me has been to have like a consistent time each week with somebody or whoever that friend is. I even have a list on my phone. It might sound weird, but it's because I have a lot of relationships that I value highly. It literally says, like, people to keep up with, in the sense of, like, to stay, like, connected with, because they're my friends. So I'll look through that periodically, and if I'm missing out, like, man, I really miss hanging out with this person, or, you know, I need what they have in my life, I'll call them on the way to work or something. I'll call them on the way back from work. That's also another really like cool way I've been able to still keep in touch with people and have those relational rhythms, is to call people like on the way back from work. Like I think it was Friday night, I got off work and I was like, where's Ben at? I was just thinking, where's Ben? So I FaceTimed him. I was like, man, do you want to pray a little bit? And we just prayed for 15 minutes on the phone and just asked him what he was doing, how he was, and it's just a good way to stay connected. So,
great.
I was going to say for me, sorry. me and my wife are very introverted, so this is probably one of those challenging areas for us. We'd rather like stay home and relational rhythms. That's each other, right? anyway, a good way to kind of break out of that habit is just, for me, is just connect with during the week. It's like a predetermined time for me to already like have relationships ready to go. So that's pretty, that's the way I was able to connect with people. And then, you know, once you build relationships within that group, they can break out of that for one-on-one time. But that's very helpful for me.
Yeah. So I have two things. The first is just in general talking, like if some of you have been going through this rule of life, maybe with your spouse or your roommate or parent or something like that, something that we've discovered when we got to the relational aspect was this introvert extrovert type thing. So he's like very much an extrovert and I'm an introvert, and so he's all, oh, we gotta have people over and we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that, and I'm like holding on like, oh my gosh, what we're doing, what, you know. So if that's going on in your house, it's normal. We're right there with you, kind of trying to hash out our different rules of life and how they're gonna go together. But for my relationships in this season have definitely changed and maybe been strained a little bit, just because of everything. And so I feel like I've had to pull back some and prioritize my family, mainly my kids and Blake, and making sure that those relationships are strong. And so some of the ways that's happened is I'm just being real intentional about having dinner together. Maybe Blake and I having a date night every couple weeks or something like that, like times where we connect, or maybe like 10 minutes a day we sit down after the kids go to bed and make sure that we talk. Because sometimes you just don't talk because you're that busy, you know? And so, yeah, I guess that's...
Family gatherings are very important to me when I'm connecting with my family over holidays or just visiting times or whatever. It just is a connection that you can't replace with anything else. We are also very committed and connected with our life group. And we stay connected by, of course, meeting, but also through emails, prayer requests, informational things that we send out, texts, and connecting with friends, getting together and praying together. I just think that's really, really important that we connect with one another through prayer and that we listen to the Lord as we move through our day, not just for family and friends that we know we're connecting with, but for what the Lord might say to you about any person that you run into. How do I need to bless this person? How can I bless this person? How can I? Even if it's nothing but you see someone and you just pray for them. Whether they know it or not, just listening to the Lord, being attentive to the Holy Spirit. And that's a relational thing, even though whether you're actually connecting with them physically or whether you're just praying for them. And the other thing is... getting together over food is a big connection for people. That's very relational, and it's important that we do that and we do life together. Relational means doing life together and being there for one another and praying for one another.
Yeah, one thing. The thing about food and eating, like, that's literally an hour of your day, twice a day, where you have to do it, you know? You can't really just not do it. So you might as well bring someone in. And that's something I've always tried to be intentional about. I know in college, we had this Connect group chat, and literally every day I would say, I'm going to here at 12 p.m. to eat. Who wants to come? And a lot of times I didn't know them. I know some people say, man, you're always in the student center. It's like, yeah, because I'm just living life. Who wants to talk and wants to hang out? But it's just a good way to connect over food. So I agree with that. It's really good.
That solves a mystery for me, Zach, because I was wondering why you're so skinny. Most people eat three times a day.
I will say, I'm adding that into my rule of life, eating a healthy breakfast. I shared that at Life Group. I was like, I need to start eating breakfast. So
that's awesome. That's good. Some of us are more relationally wired than others. My wife is very relationally wired. I am not, so I have to actually plan these things. So even for our kids, like, I have to, like, consciously, as a goal, to put my kids to bed and, like, be there with them. Maybe you can't do that every night. Maybe you can't do that any night because you're working. But maybe it's breakfast for you, or it's something, but it's finding a way to connect with those people that God's put in your life, with your spouse or your kids, and making that a priority and then setting that in rhythm. So I know that Zach's a friend of mine and Lane's a friend of mine. And so the last month, I have to drop my kids off at soccer camp or soccer practice. I get them to meet me at the field and we walk together. That's the only time I got, you know. But that's so important that we do that, and it's been a great time. So that's another example. The third ingredient I want to talk about is this Sabbath and rest. We know that Christ fulfills the Sabbath. We don't have this law of Sabbath that we have to abide by, but it is also it's in creation itself. It's in our DNA that we need a day of rest, and that's going to look a variety of different ways for all of us because we have different jobs, we have different careers, we have different rhythms. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. What does a Sabbath rest look like for you? And then how maybe do you prepare for that?
Yeah, I guess I'll share. Jenny and I, she's an educator, and in my role, we're extremely busy. And so typically the day looks like Monday through Thursday, Friday. We're out of the house by 6:30, and we don't get home until about 7 at night. And being introverts, we're pouring ourselves out, during the day. We get home and we just don't want to do anything. On the weekends, we're really intentional about guarding that time together and finding rest. So what that looks like for us is on Friday nights, we'll cut our phones off. We won't have an alarm. And we'll say, Lord, be your will, and wake up tomorrow morning. Whatever that may be, we want to be intentional about spending time together. So whenever the Lord wakes us up on Saturday morning, we get up, and if the weather permits, just go for a nice walk, really reflecting on the week, spend time praying for and with each other. And then on Sundays, after church, we cut our phones off. We typically don't cut those back on until Monday morning. And just, again, spending time with each other, resting, preparing our hearts and minds for the week ahead, because we know how busy it's going to be. So, yeah.
Tested them. Okay. So for me and Rachel right now, new season, our background, or at least my background, my family is like, you know, no days off. Like every day is a work day. That's just how I was raised with my family. So, you know, an idea of a Sabbath is somewhat, it kind of goes against my nature, or at least my background, so to speak. So, you know, with our daughter recently, it's just been a test. Me and Rachel have been able to find time with one another. But now we add another piece to the puzzle. It's like, okay, now we actually have to like really set this time aside and focus on each other. So for me, who gets bogged down in work, during the work week, I need to have some focused attention on my family. So what restores me and refuels me and makes me ready for the week ahead, which that could look different for everyone. For me, it's spending some time with my family on Saturday, which is typically our day. And I'll sleep in, I won't set an alarm. I'll get up when Rachel gets up, not when I want to get up to do whatever I want to do. So I'll get up when Rachel gets up, and then typically we'll do something that day. If it's just one thing, if it's going out to lunch, if it's going somewhere, if it's taking a walk. Just doing something together makes me feel connected and makes me like, okay, I can go into this next week with some energy and feeling restored.
I think mine's evolved over the years. I don't remember clearly taking a real good Sabbath, I think, early on when we were first married. I mean, I know that we did, but it's become way more intentional. So I think it was different when we had small kids, too. Especially, I was a stay-at-home mom and just didn't feel like I ever had any time to really relax or whatnot. And so that kind of looked like maybe like taking the kids for like 3 hours or something like that. So it wasn't like a whole day of rest, you know, but it was good to get a few hours. So that's maybe what it looked like when we were kind of younger, married. Now it's been more intentional in that I plan my week so that I know 6 days I'm doing stuff, and then I try to, if I can take a whole day, I do, but if I don't, then I just take a few hours, or maybe it's part of Friday and part of Sunday or something like that. I just try to be intentional of really spending time with the Lord. I'm in resting. I feel like something that the Lord has been really working on me this last like year and a half is just that it takes faith to take a Sabbath, and there's some humility and trust involved in it, because our culture doesn't think that you should take a break, right? Like, you should constantly be productive and working and getting things done. And I could totally do that. I could do it 7 days all day, but I think that's part of it is trusting the Lord that if I stop work for a few hours, the world's going to go on and it's going to be okay, you know? And in the meanwhile, I'm going to get rested and I'm going to have some relationship with the Lord and maybe some fellowship and community, and that's going to fill me up. And then those other 6 days or those other hours, I'm going to be way more productive during that time. So that's kind of what the Lord's been working with me about.
It's interesting, and I want to hear from y'all on this too, because this ingredient and our next one, which is boundaries for the digital economy, we're kind of run together. But it's funny, I always found it humorous when the culture gets this revelation of like something that's healthy for you, like fasting. Like, oh man, we found this new thing. It's fasting. People have been fasting for 4,000 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's all this health. I wonder why they did this for 4,000 years. It's healthy for you to fast, you know? And now we're seeing this kind of upsurge in the culture about taking a day off. And I don't know if you've... I was listening to a guy this week, Aaron Edelbright. He's a secular Jew. He just sold his tech... I think it was a financial investing business for like $200 million. He was on the verge of a mental breakdown, and he just remembered, hey, I grew up with these kind of practices, and went back to taking, a Sabbath was too big for him, a whole day. But he said, I could take four hours on a day off. And he would set that aside, and he saw how liberating that was for him, and how healthy was it for him, because it was just... He did this book. His book is called Hard Break, A Case for a 24-6-Hour Work Week. Let me just read a quote from him and then dive back into this as well. Because this has a little bit to do with cutting ourselves off digitally as well. And this is what he says. If you think about it, when you have your phone on you and you're connected to your phone, your computer, your email, you're basically on call to every business contact, every social contact you've ever, almost ever met through Facebook, Twitter, email, Slack. Everyone can reach you at any time. Our brains are addicted to the point to check it. We may not immediately respond, but everyone has access to us. The research is very clear. We are not made to be on call every waking moment of the day, and it's an absurd comment. It's an absurdity. How are we? Why would you allow that? How could that possibly be good? The evidence is overwhelming that what we're doing to ourselves, from our health and mental health, happiness, creativity, productivity, it's not working. We know this. We intuitively know that something's wrong. We see it in our society as well. People are more anxious. There's an anxiety epidemic going on. People are angrier. We're arguably living in the best time ever to be alive in terms of health and in terms of lifespan, in terms of violence, in terms of opportunity. And we're trending in the opposite direction, which is pretty phenomenal. It's just funny that here's a secular Jew. And he's like, we're killing ourselves. And all the data says it. Now, I'll give one little piece of evidence he found. They went back to World War I, and they're in this, Britain is in this ammunitions race with Germany. And they're like, we've got labor laws, but they're out the window. This is life or death. We got to have bullets. If we don't, we're going to die. So everybody's working all the time. And so they're gathering all this data across the board and all these, saying, how do we make more bullets? And they took all the research and they collected it all. And this was their result. This is their result. In order to make more bullets, you have to work less. Everybody's got to work 6 days a week and then let them off. Injuries are up. Distractions are up. Everything's efficiencies up. Inefficiencies up, but if you work six, you actually make more. We know this. I mean, Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, kill it. And he's just talking about consultant groups in our culture. Boston Consulting, they started paying their consultants to take a day off, and they found no one who would even do it. It was such a stigma to take a day off. They're like, we won't take the money. They finally started forcing people to do it, and as the people in the business started experiencing the culture of the day off, they wanted in, and now it's mandated. And so a lot of these tech companies realize, man, if we're not unplugging, that's why you see a lot of tech execs on the ocean doing surfing, because it's the only place you can't get me. You know? because they realize the value of this. So I want to talk about that a little bit. What boundaries do you guys put on the digital carnivore, and if that helps as far as Sabbath as well?
I want to just address the word rest for just a minute. Rest is not only physical, but it's mental. You know, your mind has to be at rest in order to receive from the Lord and hear what he's saying. And we can have quietness and trusting confidence before the Lord, and there is much strength in that. So something that I read recently, which I really loved, is that as you are resting before the Lord, he can influence your thinking, and he can recalibrate your thinking. And that can't happen if you're not quiet before him. That cannot happen. And so, of course, we want to be influenced by him rather than by everything that's out there, as well as on our telephones. So I am, my telephone usage, or let's say digital usage, I was talking to some of my family last night about this, is probably 75% reading devotions, reading the word, because I do all that on the phone, sending encouraging texts, sending scriptures to friends and family, and it really is kind of a ministry, so to speak. I don't do social media, so I'm really not a carnivore in that sense. And I just feel like being using this for God's glory is a completely different thing than, say, just, you know, feeding your mind with all sorts of stuff from the world. And you can use it in that way for God's good. And so I just think if we ask the Lord to help us with how we do that. Now, I know I'm a completely different generation. I think there's probably at least 30 years difference between me and everyone else up here. So a completely different generation, and so I'm not as tied into all of that. But even if you are tied into all of that, you can still use all of that for him.
So for me, thinking about boundaries for a digital carnivore, when I was thinking about these four different areas, I think this is the one that we get the most attack or offensive against us, and we're on the defense, so to speak. So I think this is probably the area, even more so than your scripture reading, that can happen without a lot of pushback, because, you know, you're just waking up in the morning, you read your Bible, there's nobody like shouting over you doing something else. But there might be, with your phone, shouting things at you, trying to get your attention. So this is where I feel like I have to be most action-oriented, so to speak. But one of the things, like just practical things that I've done, is get a real alarm clock for my bedside, like a real live alarm clock. Ordered on Amazon. But my phone doesn't go on my bedside table anymore, because inevitably I'd roll over, grab my phone, check my alarm, and have a notification from somewhere, and I'm just laying in bed looking at my phone. So I do have a real alarm clock, and my phone is on a dresser in the same room. But that's one thing. And then just being like a setting Nazi on my phone, just changing a bunch of settings so that my phone isn't getting my attention. You know, there was a setting at one point, and some of y'all probably still have it, where it was rise to wake. Like, you pick up your phone and it would light up and you didn't even touch it. So, like, those kind of things, like your phone especially, comes preset to get your attention. And that's how they design it. So you're just like, okay, I don't want this to happen. So there's things you can do with your phone. But one thing I have thought about with my family There's a book called The TechWise Family by Andy Crouch, and it's more like, you know, focused on your family and your house and what are you setting your attention on, what's your family about. Like one example that he gives in the book is like, is your TV the locus of your home? Like are all your couch and all your chairs and your kitchen table like centered on the TV? That's really stuck with me about when we just moved into our new house. Like, okay, are all the chairs pointed at each other for conversation, or are they pointed at the TV? But it just kind of like made me think about like our habits and our environment, how they are affecting us. We may not even be aware of it, but there's a lot of things, and I just feel like this is probably the one we have to be most intentional about because it's the most after us.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we were talking about rest, Sabbath, and relationships, and I think the boundary thing with the technology goes hand in hand with that. Like the quote you were reading, it said, everyone has access to you with just the touch of a finger. And it's like, when we set the boundary on our technology, then it sets the boundaries, like, relationally, too. Because for me, like, I have a lot of relationships with people, and this is just the reality. Everybody that reaches out to you isn't thinking about how busy you are or how you're doing right then. It's just the reality. And it doesn't mean they have a bad heart at all, but they just don't know. So you have to be on guard of yourself. And that's something I had to learn through literally just being anxious all the time. And I had to set relational boundaries. Like, I'm going to put my phone on the bed or like just somewhere away and just pray. And if someone reaches out to me, I'm not going to know it. I'm not going to be able to respond because they don't, you know, they're not necessarily thinking, okay, when I reach out to Zach, is he busy? Is he like already stretched out too thin with all these relationships? I feel like it goes hand in hand. Like when you set technological boundaries, it also helps set relational boundaries. And could go more into it, but it's like a general thing.
It's good. Yeah, thank you. It's interesting. I was talking to one of our members this week, and they were saying, I took a social media fast for 3 weeks. And this week, because I haven't been on Facebook, Facebook started texting me. Like, they didn't just send me notifications, normal route. Like, I got literal text messages saying, so-and-so, your friend, she said something. Like, how did they, I don't even remember giving them my number. But that's just how the reality that we have to put boundaries around our lives. So, couple points here as we bring this to a close is, one, we might, this whole concept of spiritual practices and a rule of life might be completely foreign, and that's okay. All of us up here, I think, have walked with the Lord for years, some of us decades, and so it's been a journey. And so a journey of 1,000 steps starts with the first one, right? And so realize, okay, I don't have any kind of boundaries set in place, anything like that. May I encourage you, 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, to pray, spend time with God before your day gets going. Start there. And I think once you experience what that's doing in your life, you're like, I need more of this. And putting my phone away, having a simple, maybe at a certain time, the let technology work for you in the sense of, hey, I think I can shut some of this stuff off. Or you can put timers on particular apps that kind of help you put some boundaries on yourself. So I think that's important.